Hallelujah. First time I heard that song was at the funeral of Ike Roberts' wife, Brenda. And two ladies stood up there and sang that. You say, how can you sing "He is Wonderful" when your young wife with children has just been taken away from you? But you know, that's the kind of God that we serve. Amen. There was a time, one of many times, that things just weren't going right. And I was burdened down and troubled, and I said, I'm just going to go to Hidalgo, Texas, Reynosa, for a week and be with our team down there and just kind of hide out in that back bedroom of that, what they called a trailer house. And I was there seeking the Lord, and I just thought, well, I'll listen to some music on the radio. And that song came on. It might have been Kimberly. I don't know. But as those lyrics kept flowing, I just began to weep before the Lord. And I said, all I wanted to do was love you, Jesus. That's all I've been trying to do, is just tell you that I love you and serve you. And God ministered to me through that. And I just believe he ministered to you this morning also. Amen. Every month is important. Every day is important. But I believe that December, regardless of whether it was exactly the birthday of Jesus or not, that it's a time for the church to put their eyes on Jesus. And our sign says, it's all about you, Jesus. And to come to the heart of worship. There's something that I want to do this morning. You might have noticed in your church news that there's no place for birthdays anymore. We made so many mistakes. I don't know how. Either it got knocked off the page, or we didn't have the information. Was it you, Amy? We had you on the wrong date? Yeah. So at a meeting the other day, we decided we're going to do it differently. We're going to leave them off. But if you're having a birthday in December, Kimberly, stand up at this time. Who else? Look at that. Yes. 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 Ashley. Yes. Yes. May you have a blessed year and a happy day and a wonderful coming year. Amen. Anyone having an anniversary in December? Yes, I remember that one. Randy and Teresa. Yes. I remember that because I did part of the wedding. And I was down there in Reynosa and then coming across the border and with Milton, my son, and I was making sure that my pronunciation was right because he's very fluent in Spanish. And Daniel, my three-year-old, was there. And he said, look at Grandpa speaking Spanish. So I remember that one. I had a little part in it. I think all that Randy had to learn in Spanish was see. But look at him now. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Charlotte and I went on a cruise one time. Need to go again. Right now, I'd get the handicap section. But there's going to be a change. There is a change. But we heard about a karaoke thing on the 12th floor. And we said, let's see what that is. I can't hardly pronounce it. And so we went up there, and it was a comedy hour because some of those people couldn't sing a lick, but they thought they could. And they had a microphone, and they were as off-key as anything. And so we were just laughing, just almost doubled up, you know. And this one girl comes up there, and she sings a song, "He's Got the Whole Wide World in His Hands." Now, she was a believer, because you could tell it. And she was there as light in a dark place, as to be the salt of the earth in that place. And she sang it with power and with, you know, real testimony, proclamation. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. I won't sing it for you, but he's got the whole, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you do. How many know that song? Oh, a few people know that song. Okay. Bill Hayes don't know that song, but when she got through, the, you know, corrupt sinner DJ walks up and trying to announce the bar or something like that, and she says, ooh, that makes me think of my Sunday school days. And I thought, sister, you better think of your Sunday school days. You better get right with God. And so, but he is big, and he's wide, the whole wide world, and his hands are large enough to handle all of that. This morning, I want to speak on that God is in control. Dios está en el control. In the fullness of time, in la plenitud, and de los tiempos, in the fullness of time. It's a message God dropped in my heart for this Sunday. And first question I want to ask is, who is God and what is he like? Who is he and what is he like? If we're going to believe and trust in him as the one in control, then we're going to have to know who he is and what his character is. What is his name? Exodus 3, 13 through 14, then Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, because God had spoke to him at the burning bush and said, I'm going to send you forth to deliver the children of Israel. He said, I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say to me, who are you? Or they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses. Isn't that powerful? Can you say, God said to Bill, God said to Amy, God said to Carla, God said to Timothy, Tim, God said to us. It said, God said to Moses. He speaks. We listen. Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said, then you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. This morning I want to proclaim that whatever is needed in your life, he is the I am. He is the supplier, and he always will be. He's the I am. He is that one that is the been there before creation, because he created the planets, he created the earth, he created the waters, he created the people, he created all of us. He is the I am. Another thing, who is God? What is he like? God is omnipotent. Have you ever heard that word before? It means all powerful. So we have a God that has us in his hands, the whole world in his hands, and he is all powerful. He is able to do what he needs to do. Revelation 19, verse 6 and 8. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in a fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Powerful scripture. You see, and that's at the end of the book. He's still the I am, and he is still omnipotent. He is still all-powerful. I'm sure that scripture is in Tina's book, Hosea's Door, While We Wait, because it's there that the wife has made herself ready. God is omniscient. Omniscient. He's all-knowing. The Bible tells us that God does perceive all things, which means that no fact can be hidden from his knowledge. As King David recognized in Psalm 39:12, indeed, darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Psalm 139:12. Psalm 44:21, God sees all things. That put the fear of God into me as a little boy. We sing a song, he sees all you do and he hears all you say. My God is watching all the time. And he sees. God sees all things. Nothing can be hidden from his knowledge, not even the secret intentions of the heart. So God, not only what we say, what we do, but God knows the intentions of our heart. He knows the motives of our heart. I believe that at the judgment seat and we start telling God what all we've done, he's just going to say, why? What was your motive for doing that? Who were you trying to influence? What were you doing? Were you doing it for me or were you doing it for yourself? You see, he understands our own intentions better than we do. Hebrews 4:13, there is no creature hidden from his sight, But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And so the fear of the Lord is in that scripture that we will be given an account. As we sang that wonderful song this morning, the love of God. God is love. But love is not God. God is love, and his whole character is love. God always chooses for our highest good. It may not look like it at the time, but you see, God is in control, and we can trust in him. God is omnipresent. He is the God with us. That means that he is being present everywhere at the same time throughout this whole world, that he is there. He's in China this morning, Rachel. He is in Romania this morning, Aaron. He is in Africa this morning. He is everywhere today because God is omnipresent and he is there. And what does the song say? That he is, thank you. He is large enough to rule this mighty universe and small enough to live within our hearts. He's a personal God. He's all of these great things. He's a vast, mighty God, but he is a personal God that we can have inside of us, his spirit to dwell within us. He is there. He is there. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Psalm 139:7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. God's unchanging hand is available. Will you take it this morning? Will you walk hand in hand with God and his hand in yours? As I began to study church history a few years ago, I was so impressed of something I'd never really seen before, that God interrupted history with the coming of Jesus to this earth, the Christmas story. That he says here in Galatians 4:4-5, that when the fullness of time had come, you see, it didn't take place with Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. It didn't take place with Daniel. Those were men of God, but it didn't take place during that time. God had a special time to have the largest influence upon this earth so nobody would be able to say, I have an excuse. I didn't know anything about it. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Paul was calling attention to this historical time of providential preparation that preceded the coming of Jesus to this earth in a human form. And Mark recorded a similar statement in Mark 1, verse 12. The Spirit then compelled Jesus to go into the wilderness, where he was tempted by Satan for 40 days. He was among the wild animals, and the angels took care of him. And so God preserved him out there, and the angels took care of him. God sent angels to Jesus to encourage him. They took care of him. Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached the good news. And here's what he said. The time promised by God has come at last. So it was a fullness of time as preparation it was being made through all of those centuries for that one single time that Jesus would come in human form. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. Now I'm going to get into history a little bit. There was a providential preparation, not just by those the angels would go to or the prophets. It's forgotten that not only the Jew, but also the Greeks and the Romans contributed to the religious preparation for the appearance of Christ. Greek and Roman contributions aided by bringing historical development to a point where that Christ could make the most maximum effect on history in a way not possible before or since the time of his birth. So there was that providential preparation that God was using heathen nations to bring forth his will. He still does that. He still does that. We can be concerned, and we certainly need to pray and vote and everything else, but God is in control of political situations. It was at a time when that they had lost faith in their gods because they had been defeated by the Romans. And all of these countries, they were in a sense of hopelessness until the star of the morning gave hope to this world. No other people up to that time had developed such a unity of mankind. There had been small tribes, and they were separate and so on. But with the authority of Rome, after conquering, well, they were able to build a solidarity that created an environment that was favorable to the reception of the gospel. Because, as we know, that we come together and we accept the Lord regardless of tribe or a race or whatever, the human race, that all men would be under the penalty of sin, and that all are offered salvation that makes them part of a universal Christian church, Christ's body, those that accept the Lord. A further step in this idea of unity was that Rome began to grant citizenship to non-Romans. If they were able to serve in the army as a non-Roman, and they became a free man, they were granted Roman citizenship. And this included all of the Mediterranean world, and all practical purposes, all men were under one system of law and of one kingdom. The dignity of the individual and the right and justice of Roman citizenship, it would bring all of these people into one organization. This anticipated a gospel that proclaimed the unity of the race, both in setting forth a penalty of sin and a savior from sin. Paul reminded the people of Philippian church that they were members of a heavenly commonwealth. Are you an ambassador this morning? You know what an ambassador is? He's a person that's sent by one country to another to represent his own country. Don't we want to be ambassadors for Christ? That we are citizens of heaven and we're sent to earth to represent our King Jesus, our Lord. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's what being born again is. You have to be born again to be a citizen of heaven. And as we're born again, well, then we are all ambassadors flowing together in the love of Jesus and growing and developing while we're on this earth to be a light in this place, to be the light of the world. There was a man in history named Pompey, and he had swept the pirates off the Mediterranean, and so it was safe travel. Roman soldiers kept the peace on all of the roads of Asia, Africa, and Europe. They were through force, yes. This peaceful world made it easy for the early Christians to move from place to place so they could preach the gospel to all men everywhere. You see how that in the fullness of time, all these things happen for the preparation of the coming of Jesus. The Romans developed an excellent system of roads. You heard of the Roman road? Well, there's more to it than just going through the book of Romans. The Roman road was really a road. And all of their systems, they had for their day, it was the most modern technology they could do to have roads. I've been told that some of those roads still exist, the same ones that they built. And of course, they've been improved, but it was that it connected strategic cities And it really gave aid to Paul's mission. When he, you realize what Paul did as one man, as he traveled, as he went from place to place, not knowing what was going to happen, eventually knowing that he would be put to death, but living for God as long as he could, in every way that he could. He's my hero. The Roman army developed organization, and in the spread of the gospel, that should not be ignored, because they were able to keep peace and to build roads and all of these things. Concerning the citizenship in Acts 22, 28, which is Paul's testimony, he tells it again and again. It says, the chief captain answered, "With a great sum, I obtained this freedom." Paul said, "I was born a Jew. I was born free." 22:3, he said, "I indeed a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia." And so even as God prepared for the birth of Paul, it was at the right place to have the greatest advantage to spread this gospel. Many of these men that were citizens of Rome became converts to Christianity, and they spread the gospel to areas that they were assigned to in their military duty. Can you say amen? It's probable that the earliest introduction to Christianity came to Britain. And I'm told that when the first missionaries got there, they found believers there. And it cannot be proven, but it's a good idea that, you know, that centurion that said, "Surely this must be the Son of God," there at the Calvary, at the death of the cross. And they tried to shut everybody up and tell them that the disciples stole the body of Jesus and all of that. Conjecture, but they would have sent him to the farthest place away to shut him up. And that would have been Britain. That would have been the British Isles. Could be. Their gods had not been able to keep them from the defeat by the Romans. So there was a spiritual vacuum that could not be filled satisfactorily in any other way. So when people were there, I think about our own entrance into ministry in 1969 and 70, where that suddenly there was a revolt, really, against establishment. And it was called the hippie movement. Anybody want to admit they were once a hippie? Oh, I know. Oh, there he is, Bill. See one back there, too. But they were looking for something real. They were tired of imitation. They were tired of counterfeit. They actually believed there was no reality, that they had to do something to seek it. And it would be, where is it happening? Well, it's in Dallas, or it's at Trinity Park, or it's here in Tyler, it's at Birkfield Park. And that it was, there was people there that were, a vacuum had been created that would prepare people to receive the gospel. And so that first night of that Teen Challenge Coffee House, I had these little cards printed up announcing what we were doing. And I was able to, I'll show you kind of, you know, the era that we were in, not error, but era, that we were in, that it said, "Uptight, need help, looking for a peaceful place to rap." They're laughing. The youth are laughing. "Come to the Teen Challenge Coffee House. You'll find someone who will listen, someone who will care, and someone who will help." And that was it. And, you know, I had all just some volunteers from these churches. These kids had never been on the streets before. They were just church kids all the way. And I said, "Okay, I want you to go out to that round Birkfield Park, all of those places where the youth hang out, and I want you to give these and invite them in." And so I sat there in the place, and, you know, the devil talks to you, and he said, "What are you going to do when they come back? Nobody's here." And I said, "I got to pray." So I walked the block right in front of where our church was for many years, the castle. It was called First Christian Church at that time. And back up Front Street and into the door. And I got on my knees. "Lord, what am I going to do?" you got to do something. And a tap on the window. And one of our workers, who is a Tyler pastor today, he was a single guy, came to help us. And he just did like this, knocked on the window, did like this. And there was three little boys. And I opened the door and they came in. And they rushed in. And before the night was over, we had 150 kids come in. And so what happened is that they were ready to receive. Now, you know, we had to meet them culturally. We didn't have song service and testimonies and a service. We just had tables painted purple and candles on the table and free coffee and stale donuts and tuna sandwiches and so on. But somebody would talk to them, you know. And I found a great way. We're going to have a Gideon service next year, I'm sure. I had a Gideon Bible. And I would open that Bible and I would say, "Can you read this?" And it said, "No." I said, "Well, that's Chinese. Can you read this?" "No, that's French." "Can you read this?" "No, that's German." "Can you read this?" "Well, I can't. Porque tal amo," and I gave the John 3:16 in Spanish, and they still didn't understand. I said, "But you know what that means? Here it is in English. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." And they began to listen. They began to hear. We had several signs up. We had one that says, "Turn right and go straight." We had another one that said, "Keep off grass." "Keep off the grass." Yeah. So we had some conversation starters that we would begin to talk to. But you know what was really bringing them in was the fullness of time had come for that generation. And it was time for them. And do you know what came from that? And Charlotte and I did not even know this was happening. We just obeyed God. But a Jesus movement spread throughout this whole world, throughout this whole country. A Jesus movement spread. Keith Green was part of that. And we recognized that at the right time, God moved in. And what we did in 1970, if we tried to do it again, it would not work. It would not work in the same building. It would not work because God has a separate way of dealing with every generation and every situation. And he can do it because he is God. And there was, just as in this account I'm giving this morning of the fullness of time, well, God broke into history. Well, he does that today. I believe he broke into history when we purchased this building. And we became the North Gate of Tyler. And we began to be the first sign we put up said Home of Hope. And it's still that way. Anyone feel hope this morning? Jesus gives hope. There was an intellectual environment that the Greek mind had provided. Rome was a political conqueror, but Greeks conquered the Romans culturally. And what came from that was a universal language called Greek. You know any Greek? Somebody said he owns a restaurant down the street. Just as English has become the universal language of the modern world, Greek had become the universal conversational language of the ancient world, which gave with that desire to learn Greek in all of these places around the Mediterranean, a way that the gospel could be presented in a language that they could understand. And even on the day of Pentecost, well, God took care of that. They all heard them speaking in their own language. There, Paul was in trouble. He got in trouble, like some of us do. Acts 21:37. Then as Paul was about to be led into the barracks, he had been arrested, he said to the commander, "May I speak to you?" And the commander said, "Oh, you speak in Greek. Then you could not be that Egyptian that we stirred up, that stirred up trouble and rebellion and 4,000 assassins out in the wilderness." So his language at that moment became the medium for him to be able to be set free or understood. In Acts 21:40, so when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language. So he was multilingual. multilingual. You know, they say that one person that speaks only one language is monolingual, and two is bilingual, and three is what? Trilingual. And one person that speaks only one language is an American. Ustedes necesitan aprender español. You need to learn Spanish. It's December. So let's come in with a little bit of the Christmas story. I don't want to disturb anyone else's message in the coming weeks, but Matthew 19:26, Jesus looked at them and said, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And so this omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God, the I Am, the God of love, is able to enter this world and do impossible things. Has he ever done anything that seemed impossible to you? Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he will do what no other power can do. Matthew 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem to worship him. Where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And Bill and Naomi were there. Kim and Catherine were there. We went out to TJC and we saw this thing in the planetarium. Beautiful situation. You felt like you were going around the world the way the technology was. But they were trying to prove through their research that star that rested over that the wise men saw. And as they began to lay this theory down and lay this theory down and lay this theory down, well, then it became apparent that the best one, and they actually quoted scripture in that presentation, they said that it they felt like that it only happens in many years apart, that two planets would come together at the same time. And if that took place, it would present a light. And that according to their research, at the approximate time Jesus would have been born, that is exactly what happened in history, is that maybe, what was it, Pluto and Saturn, Bill, or something like that, that they came together. And, you know, I can say to you today that God has the power. He created those planets, and he could make them stand still. He could make them move. He could make them come apart. But the wise men saw something there. They were able to recognize that there was something happening, and it was a new star. And it in their research, as astrologers, is that what you say? Astronomers? Okay, yeah, not that one. Astronomers. Then they were able to say there's a new king has been born, and it took a long time for them to come and to make that journey. But God at that right time had put that star or those planets in the right place. You see, God interrupted history at just the right time. We were in Israel, and our guide, Moran, he said, would you just tear that page out that says New Testament? He said, it's one Bible. He said, it's one Bible. The Old and the New Testament are one. And so we find that in history, well, that's kind of where we divide it. But it's the whole gospel. And it is one time there that God entered in, and it became what we call the New Covenant that was there. And impossible things happened. Gabriel, the same angel that was sent to Daniel, Gabriel, it wasn't Gabriella. My grandma said, I don't believe that because no man's good enough to be an angel. Well, his name was Gabriel. He was sent to Daniel. And then he was sent to Zechariah. And Zechariah. Now, here is Elizabeth all of these years under disgrace, waiting for a baby. Is there something that you've waited for a long time and it still hasn't come to pass? Has God put something in your heart that you really feel was His word and it has not come to pass? Well, look how God deals with the impossible situations. Here was an older lady, impossible to have a baby. And the angel came to Zechariah while he was doing his priestly duties. And they wondered, why is he staying so long? But you see, he had been in the presence of God. God sent a messenger to tell him at just the right time that there's going to be a conception. And here Elizabeth is expecting a child. And then same angel came to Mary and maybe even to Joseph in his dream. And here's Elizabeth having a baby at their age. I don't know how old it was, but, if it happened to Abraham, well, maybe it could happen to Zechariah. And it did. Luke 1, 19 and 20. The angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these great tidings. I read something this morning that really opened my eyes, that for the believer, we never stop worshiping. We worship till that little line goes straight and our heart beats no more. But immediately we're in the presence of Gabriel, maybe. We're in the presence of Jesus, and we are worshiping throughout eternity. It will not be a boring time there. There'll be no time there. But we will be able to worship the King of Kings throughout eternity. Hallelujah. Matthew 19, 26 again. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, but with our God all things are possible. Luke 1, 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And she responded. She was troubled at the sayings that she was going to be conceiving a child, an immaculate conception, a miraculous conception. And the angel said, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. The angel said to Zechariah, I'll give you a son. You know, we never knew. Today, they know pretty early. We never knew. I just waited in that little room and those two lights. One said boy, one said girl. And it said, every time that little red letter thing would come on, boy, 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 boy. Down the street here, we had the Foss's Fine Foods and barbecue. And I had a kind of a lean-back sign. And finally, I put, it's another boy. But it was going to be a son named John, a son named Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord. God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Aren't you glad for that? Mary said, how can this be? I don't know a man. I've never known a man. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come up on you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, also has conceived a son in her old age. And, they didn't have Facebook or email, telephones. But here was God telling Mary, your cousin, I believe it was a cousin, is going to have a baby in her old age. But you see, God had a purpose for that as well. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Mary, a virgin, having a baby. God is in control. God prepared at the right time the coming of Jesus. Luke 2:1-4. And it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee to the city of Nazareth to Judea and to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now here's the Caesar, the most powerful person in the world at that time, he thought. In fact, they desired worship. Caesar Augustus. He says, you know what I'm going to do to those Jews? I'm going to make them go to their own city and register. And we're going to take a census. And he patted his back and said, look what I've done. He had nothing to do with that. You see, God at the right time even said, I'm going to, I know she's having this baby, and I know where it's to be born. And so they were at the right place, Bethlehem, at the right time. Who chose this journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem? Caesar or God? Who chose Bethlehem? Micah 5:2, Old Testament. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old and from everlasting. And so it was prophesied, and when the wise men said that to Herod, well, then he got his people, his historians, and they said, well, according to this, it's supposed to be Bethlehem. And you know the story of how that he was endeavoring to kill all the babies to get rid of this possible king. But an angel, probably Gabriel again, came to Joseph and said, flee to Egypt. And it's so sad that that's just the way that ungodly government does. But they were killing all those innocent babies, and they didn't get the one that they were trying to get because God took over. Here was shepherds. In Romania, we enjoy watching the shepherds. And they actually wear the sheep skins to protect them from the weather. And these country shepherds were living out in the fields, and that's what we found out. They live out there, keeping watch over their flock by night, Luke 2:8-12. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. We were watching a Christmas program at First Baptist Lindale, and a guy was reading that, and he said, and they were terrified. Well, they might have been. He missed it a little bit. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So God moved into history with those shepherds out there. It says a whole heavenly host was there, singing and blessing and praising God in the heavens. And then it said they just left. And the shepherds looked at each other and said, we need to go and check this out. We need to confirm this. And absolutely confirmation. They went and they found exactly where to go and what to do. And there was baby Jesus. The wise man, the star, the scientist, every bit of archaeology that they do these days only proves the Bible more. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. So there was a hunger there on their part to find this coming king. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them, where is this Christ to be born? They said, Bethlehem of Judea. It's written in the prophets. But you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are not least the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So what is this all about this morning? Our God is in control. He is in control, and He moves at the right time. Many times already in my life in ministry when I've had to wait and wait. But I can truly say that every time that God has come through, because He is faithful, because He is holy, because He is the omnipotent one, He is the omniscient one, He's the omnipresent one, He is the I am. Whatever you need this morning, He is the I am that is there. So what do we do with this message? I want to present the word trust to you. Trust to you. In Israel today, we cannot use the word church because it's been corrupted. We have to use the word congregation. We cannot use the word Christian, because that is a place that they've been persecuted for. We use believer. And in the Jewish Bible that I read through year before last, every time that faith was mentioned, they didn't have faith. It was trust. And this is what's wrong in the Middle East, is because they have been betrayed so many times, Israel, that they don't trust any kind of peace agreement, because they have been denied that opportunity. I want to tell you something. Trust is a very valuable asset you can have. If you lose that trust that others would have in you, it's almost impossible. It can happen with time, but to ever gain it back. And Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path." Can you let that be your life scripture, your scripture for the week? Whatever you're going through, that we are seeing that we can trust this Savior God, that we can trust Him with our lives, that we can be able to let even what we sang this morning, He is in control, that God is the one. And during this season, this Christmas season, can we say God is in control? Watch this with me. In the fullness of time, He moved in. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Appreciate the sound team, tech team. We'll be right back.
your faith be strengthened.
Lord, this morning we are gathered here together, Church of Living Hope. Lord, the very name that you've given us is that which would reach out. And we believe that there's a vacuum in lives around us today, Lord. We believe that we are to be those that give every person that asks us the reason for the hope that's within us. Lord, we believe that you have called us. You have given us the Word of God to be our way of life, and that even though there are storms that come our way and there are problems and troubles that come our way, that we know that you are in control because you're the omnipotent God and you know all things and you're here with us. Lord, you are the Emmanuel that has been prophesied and came in the name of Jesus, our Lord, and sent the Holy Spirit among us so that you are with us at all times. And we are so thankful for that. Lord, I pray that you would calm fears this morning, that you would give the rock to stand on, you, Jesus, for those that would be tottering and wondering what is happening. Lord, we ask you to increase our faith that we would know and we could trust in you with all of our heart and not depend upon our own understanding, because that would possibly be fearful and that would be wrong and it would be the lies of the world. And you just said if we would trust in you and not depend upon that you would direct our paths. And you're a God that goes before us in every situation. You're a God that supplies the need. You are Jehovah Jireh, and we know that you are able to meet that need in our lives, God, whether it's spiritual, family problems, emotional, physical, that you are there, and we trust in you. I'm so glad that I found you as my rock, as a little boy. So glad, Lord, that I was hungry for the Holy Spirit, and you filled me and baptized me, Lord. And that power that was there, that empowerment, Lord, I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord, for the calling to ministry. Lord, and I just pray today that the dreams you've put in the hearts of our people, that they will hold on and they will come to pass because you're a faithful God and we trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for your word that's gone forth this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we know that in the fullness of time that you entered, and Lord, we may be struggling today with things that we wonder when it's going to happen, but we can rest assured that in the fullness of time, you'll invade our history and you'll bring it about in Jesus' name. Bring lost children back to the fold. Lord, in the families, perhaps there's one that's a prodigal that's gone his own way. Lord, bring them back. Let it be, Lord, that this would be a new year beginning and decisions, Lord. God, we pray that you would continue to bless this fellowship with souls, Lord, salvations, healings, baptisms, Lord. God, commitments, callings, oh Lord. God, our world is in need, and you said that as you looked, pray to the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth laborers into the harvest field. So, Lord, we know that in a world where that basically personal rights and a feeling of entitlement is prevalent, that you can go past that, and you can call laborers into your harvest field. Lord, we must reach this world before you come. Lord, we must reach one more soul before you come. Lord, we must be prepared. This was a preparation for the coming of the Lord. All of those things, the language, the roads, the seas, all was a preparation for the coming of the Lord and for the ability to evangelize and take that message forward. Lord, I pray that you'd prepare us now. Prepare us now, Lord, that we would not be denied in any way what you really have for us by our own rebellion and resistance and disobedience, Lord. So, God, we pray today that this message would sink into our hearts, that you are one that moves into history and moves into our history, our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Next week, we're going to have the Christmas program, and we kind of have a tradition where that we are able to provide little fruit bags and candy bags for everyone that comes. And then on the 21st, we want to do more than just give those gifts. We want to minister to the families that come and bring those children. And so we are going to take another offering this morning. Or I should say receive it. We're not going to take it. We're going to let you give willingly. And just so that we will have some funds to go out and buy these things. And, you know, it says, given it shall be given unto you. Well, next week, for everybody that's here, unless they're real old and we run out, we're going to give a Christmas gift, a little bag of goodies. And it's going to be a wonderful time at the end of our Christmas program. And so we just want to say, may you be blessed as you give. Lord, just meet the need in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be taking a picture, a photo of this wonderful congregation of people. This will be used to make a Christmas card to send into the prison. Anybody here ever get one of those before? Wow, look at this. And we're also going to enlarge it and replace that one up there with a new one. And so if you will hang on for just a few minutes, try to get through a little early. We're going to let the tall ones be in the back, the short ones in the front, shorter ones in the front, and a few chairs across the front. So if we can get some of these, it looks nice with these kind of chairs, I believe. We'll take them out front, put them all across the front, and we will be taking that picture. Aaron. Let's all stand. There's one more thing to do, and that's to bless your week, to bless you. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. Now go and be a blessing to others. Find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Be able to shine that light. Be an ambassador for the Lord. Amen. Enter somebody's world just as he did ours. Amen. So get some coffee if you want it, and we'll gather out front. We'll do it quick so you won't get too cold.